Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
And here we are live at Netstrata Stadium. We've been here twice within a week for a couple of games here that the Dragons have played here at Kogra. A windy day today, a little cold, but nice conditions for rugby league. And this is a massive game we've got here this afternoon, the Titans and the Dragons. And
great sideline conditions with the wind.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure if you want me to go down, let me know.
Yeah,
we've discussed this before.
Okay.
The last time you offered.
Sorry.
A buzz. The boss said, "All right, send him down," and then you backtracked. And
what I reckon is we get old to Ream because they're Australia's favourite hot water.
Yeah,
and get you into a, get a big one of those big spa
bars.
Yeah,
well, this is that. Now, when I first went over to play a Super Rugby, that's what they used to have on the
sideline.
Yeah, yeah. But they used to have different sort of.
So we're doing sideline reporting while sitting in a spa.
Yeah, but you don't have to be in your cozy. Like, you'll be in, like, a wetsuit or something, and you're sitting in there, and it's nice and warm. I'd be
I
up
like
for
that.
That
idea.
Yeah.
Who's in the spa?
Well, just you.
Fry.
And me. No, just you. just kidding.
This is a problem.
I'm just kidding.
This is a problem.
I'm so kidding.
How about me? It's me and you.
Me and you.
Remember that time that, I was, in a pool with Willie Mason? You. I could be in there with you.
You know what? They really should. That'd be great publicity for Reed. Yeah. They should get a spa and the two of you go down and do a joint sideline game.
Yeah, that'd be
just
great.
In
that's
case,
a good idea.
Can I just say, just in case my wife's driving my daughter to the airport, I was just
Has your daughter been up again with those bloody kids of hers? Have you smacked any of them lately?
Ah, why?
Do they leave the dog alone?
No, they didn't.
They did.
But we've made progress. Okay. We've actually learned. Now, this is a big admission for me, but we've actually learned that the dog's actually a little bit at fault here.
Yeah, thank you.
Really? Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
What have you learned? Tell me what you've learned.
Well, I saw the dog go over to the little bloke and then yelp as if the dog had as if he kicked him. But
is
the
that
dog
jealous, a little bit of jealousy from what's the dog's name again?
Da Vinci.
Racist. The boy who cried wolf.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad that how old's the grandson again?
He's 2.5.
I'm glad he's learned to take that straitjacket off that you used to put on him when he walked in the door. How'd he get out of that?
Oh, well, his grandmother's there to protect him. Why don't we all get in the bloody Ream hot water?
Mate, you're big on that, aren't you?
I think I love
that. Yeah, I'd love it, yeah.
Maybe we could break some. Has anyone ever called a game from the Ream hot water in the spa bath?
I don't think so, but I reckon it'd be hard because after about half time, you get a bit shriveled up and that, your skin and that. You know when you're in the water too long? I hate that. You look at your hands.
What gets shriveled?
Okay, let's move along. This is what you did in the Saturday Show, Maroon. You've taken the stand in and you've dropped it.
I didn't.
Okay. Dragons just scored a try there. Matt Duffy, really good 40-metre try.
Good Lord. What am I supposed to be doing?
Dragons winning 6 points at the moment.
All right. Now, we're talking about Josh Maguire. Brent Reed writes today in the telly, just to paraphrase here about what's going on here, he's been charged with grade 2 contact yesterday after an incident involving Broncos forward David Fifita on Thursday night. Maguire having been fined twice already this year for raking his hands across the face of an opponent. Now, take whether you know him or not out of the equation here, Wendell.
Yeah.
This is grubby behaviour.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good enough. Josh Maguire, he's a rep player. Not just that. He should know better. He's been wrapped over the knuckles twice. And to go again and do that to an Origin teammate, you got to stamp that out of the game. And I think Josh Maguire, he needs to be better than that. So enjoy your, 4 weeks off or 5 weeks to enjoy? That's his season gone.
Well, the NRL are to blame here. Yeah. I know we're all pointing the finger at Josh Maguire, but the fact of the matter is he did it twice and basically got off. So there was no lesson to be learned. So if in the first time that he did it, someone would have come out and made him accountable for it and sat him down for a couple of weeks like they did the young Canberra player, I think his name's Young, who went through a similar thing, got 5 or 6 weeks, I think. So if the NRL would have been, showed a little bit more authority early and sat him down, well, then he wouldn't have done it again. So that's exactly what's happened.
They had to come down hard, not just because he'd done it twice, but because They gave too late. Hudson Young.
Someone could have lost an eye.
Exactly.
Even 6 weeks is not enough.
And George Burgess copped, 8 weeks? Mm. So then after those two getting big bans, they couldn't then let Josh Maguire. Or even 3 weeks seems pretty soft. 3 to 4 seems pretty soft.
It's just something you don't want to. You don't want, you know, players, you know, eye gouging is just, you know, it's so many things that we don't want, you know, people to be to do on footy fields, and eye gouging's right at the top of the list, Marie. Yeah. It's dangerous. You only got two of them.
Yeah.
Do you use yours?
Well, I have to have glasses these days, but I mean, the thing is, like, let's just say if you are a young mum with kids that are 6, 7, 8 years old, blokes are poking each other in the eyes. There's no way you're going to let your kid play rugby league. If you go anywhere near someone's eyes, the minimum should be, I think, 3 months. You're talking about people's eyes.
Yeah. I understand. Look, I know that blokes, the facial massage, it's a bit different again. You know, you get up and you push their face in. I know Josh McGuire's big on getting up on people's faces like that. But when you do that, you go to the eyes. Mate, that's just out of bounds. That's just a... Don't know.
But isn't it so hard, though, because someone's usually on the ground squirming, trying to get up? It's such a fine line. If they move slightly and you weren't intending to poke them, you could. So I just think, don't put your hand in their face.
Yeah,
no, 100%. Dragons 6, I think the Bears have just scored. So that'd be 8-6, yep. Norse lead the Dragons in Canterbury Cup. And there's about 18 minutes and 20 seconds left. So I think Gerds, just to bring some sensibility back to this, mm-hmm. more needs to be done, particularly with Josh Maguire.
Yeah, well, immediately, you know, and you know, he's got a fairly long rap sheet, and you know, this is the third time that obviously he's been down this path this season, and he hasn't learned his lesson. So, the message has got to be clear to all the other guys out there. And I don't know why this year we're seeing it, you know. Like, I mean, we've seen 3 or 4 incidents now of you know, where people have been involved in something that we haven't seen in the game for quite some time. I'm not sure why we've seen a little bit of it this year, but it needs to be stamped out immediately.
You know that saying, it's always fun and games until someone loses an eye? Well, that's where that saying comes from.
Did it happen much when you were playing?
No.
Why are you laughing,
Why is
mate?
It a thing now?
And I've been talking about, you know, we've obviously been calling the footy since 2012, and I don't remember having a season where we've, you know, it's been in the news and the headlines as much as it has this year. So I'm really not sure why it's there, but it needs to get out. Are you okay, Marie?
A bit of maturity wouldn't go astray.
We're talking
Anthony
about
Marie.
I
guess.
No, but it's just funny that he's thrown the head to a game.
What?
Does someone lose? Oh dear!
Oh, we're gonna have to cut the show off here. I don't know if we can go.
I tell you what we'll do. We'll take a song. We've come back. We've got plenty to talk about here on Saturday Triple M NRL. We're going to do the NRL stock market coming up very shortly, and take a little bit of a look at these games coming up in this round, including the Titans and the Dragons this afternoon. Retro round as Triple M rocks the footy.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
So here we go. We just give the guys a little topic here. It's the NRL stock market. Do they want to hang on to the stock? Do they want to sell it? Do they want to hold on to the stock? That's all they need to do. There's a similar show on Sunday called Believe It or Not, but this is the Saturday version. The NRL stock market. Let's start with you, Wendell, because you're having such a great afternoon here.
Sure.
Your young blokes playing out there. You got one guy on the young bloke, one guy on your lovely wife, Tara, who's in the crowd there
Beautiful.
Today.
Yeah.
Let's start with you. 4 years, $6 million for Kalen Ponga. Is it a good deal?
Yeah, I'm buying that. I think Kalen Ponga is someone you can build the club around. You know, I think in a few years, he'll be able to play 5-8. But also off the field, I think he brings a lot to the club in the way of sponsorship. I know you buy those players mainly to make sure they get you to grand final day or to win a premiership. And I've got no doubt Kalen Ponga will do that over the next few years. I know it's a lot of money to pay, but you can build a club around someone like Kalen Ponga.
4 years, $6 million for Kalen Ponga is a good deal. What do you think, Emma Lawrence?
Oh, can I sit on the fence? Can
no,
I hold?
No, well, just say you can hold. Hold. So, hold.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what sitting on the fence is. I agree with everything. There are 3 options in this game. I agree with everything Dell said. I think he's so marketable because he's great with the media. He's flashy. He's someone that little kids want to be growing up, like a Benji Marshall back in his day, but I just don't know. I just still think that is a lot of money, and I'm not sure if he's proven that he's worth that just yet.
Mm.
That's okay. That's fair enough.
Ryan, what about you in the NRL stock market? 4 years, $6 million deal for Kalyn Ponga. Is it a good deal?
For who? For him or for the club?
For
who's it a good deal for?
It's amazing for him.
Amazing deal for him. Yeah, for the if you're the club, are you buying?
Yeah, if I'm the club, yeah, I'm buying that, making sure that I get value for money there though with him. I think he's generally he's in their top three players every week, and that's what you need to be when you're the marquee player. I don't think he's really been to blame when they've had their sort of the down times this year, when they went through those losses. Obviously, they experimented with him at six at the start of the year. That didn't work out, but I think he's one of their best every week. And as Em said and Del said, he's very marketable, and he's a player that all the kids aspire to be like, and there's a lot of value in that. So I'll have a little nibble at that, Maroon.
All right.
Can you have two? How many million-dollar players can you have in your club?
Well, what's the salary cap go to next year? Does it increase next year?
Yeah. But then, because I guess if after Mitchell Pearce, if you want to buy a halfback that is going to be a $1 million player, I don't know. It's just
you can get in trouble there, can't you? You can really get yourself.
You've got to just do your something.
Maybe you put your money into Kalyn and you get an $800,000 halfback.
Mm. Okay. Paul Green should be dumped as Cowboys coach. I'm going to start with you this time, Ryan. Are you buying, selling or holding?
Oh, look, I'll hold on that. I think it's been a disappointing year for the Cowboys, given their roster. I know they had some issues at the start of the year with, obviously, the Benny Barber situation and injuries to Nene McDonald and the like, and they were sort of their big season, their off-season recruits. So that's been disappointing. But I think I'm not sure Greeny signed a new deal a couple of years ago, but I think next year the blowtorch will be well and truly on Paul Green if the Cowboys don't start well. So I'm going to hold.
Paul Green should be dumped as Cowboys coach. What about you, Em, in the NRL stock market?
I'm going to hold too, because I think the rumours were floating around earlier this year that he'd lost the dressing room, and apparently he addressed the boys and some of the senior boys had said, no, you know, we still definitely want you here. But then you've got Matt Scott retiring. Some of them probably don't have a lot longer left, but they've had, as Gerd said, a lot of injuries, and even in their outside backs, basically all of them got injured. You even had Cohen Hess the last few weeks having to play in the centres. So he's had a tough run. I know injuries are part of it, but I'd like to see him get a chance when most of his roster are available.
Wendell, at the NRL stock market, Paul Green, should he be dumped as Cowboys coach? You buying, selling? Are you holding?
No, he shouldn't be. A bloke by the name of Jonathan Thurston has just retired, so life after JT. You got to put some things in place. Clifford's showing some positive signs. They've got 8 injured players at the moment. You know, that's unbelievable on a roster. And, like, 4 or 5 of those guys outside backs, and as Gerd said before, Nene McDonald, that injury, and then obviously moving him on there. They couldn't agree with things after he was injured. He wasn't doing the right things. And then, obviously, Benny Barber at the start. You know, Greeny backed him. And I heard on that, too, it was Benny Barber wanted to come back, and I heard that St. Helens offered Benny Barber a 6 or 7 year deal, like, to stay there, but he wanted to come back to the NRL. Yeah. So, Greeny, I think he's been hard done by a little bit. So, I say stick with the Cowboys coach Paul Green. I think he'll do a good job in the next couple of years.
Literally everything that could have gone wrong did, even unusual injury. So Tamari Martin had that brain bleed things that it's not just your standard injury. So it's been pretty tough for the club and Paul Green.
The other thing is too, guys, before I move on to the next one, you know, good quality NRL coaches, they're not falling out of the trees, are they? So,
well, that's it. Remember I said to this, I think I said to you, we had this argument on our Thursday show about, Kevvy Walters. Like, there's no need to rush and take that job, because if Greeny doesn't get things back on track this next season, which I think he will, mate, like, there could be an opportunity there to coach, someone like the Cowboys. I know there's Craig Fitzgibbon and a lot of names being thrown out there, but I think for a guy like Kevvy, that's a job that would suit someone like Kevvy Walters.
All right. Holmes is worth more than $1 million a year. It's interesting this says when he returns. Holmes is worth more than $1 million a year when he returns. Are you buying, selling or holding, Wendell?
Wendell's already got a couple of homes worth $1 million.
Yeah. I'm buying. I think, what Valentine brings and what he will bring to the game when he comes back. I know we've got to be careful, because Jarryd Hayne, we paid him $1.2 million when he came back.
But why are we saying when?
Well, because I think
he's not going to make it in the NFL.
No, you don't know. I hope he makes it. He's going okay. I think a bit of game time on the weekend. I know that you're a person who doesn't think he'll make it, and you think that he's a blow-in over there and he'll be back.
He won't make it.
Okay, well, when he comes back, okay, let's say if he comes back, I'd pay him $1 million.
And when he doesn't make it and he comes back and he's played 1 minute in a trial, everyone will say, yeah, he made it. This is nonsense. So anyway, what did you
say? Good on him for going over there.
No, I don't agree with that.
Maroon doesn't like this.
Because what?
Chasing his dreams.
What has he? But if he wanted to play NFL, if that's his dreams, he wanted to play NFL all his life. How come he's only decided 10 minutes after he signed a lucrative contract with an NRL club?
The timing, I disagree with the timing. The timing was off. He left the Sharks in the lurch, but the decision to go over there, if you take the timing out of it, good on him for having a go.
And he's cost himself a bit of money too at the moment, just to chase his dream.
Welcome back to Saturday Afternoon Rugby League Retro Round once again with Wendell and Em and Ryan Girdler and Maroon. I tell you what, I've got to give credit to Fox League the way the guys get done up for Retro Round.
Yeah,
did you like my outfit last night?
I thought you looked absolutely.
Did you see what I looked like last night?
I did, yes. And it was.
What did you? I was watching Channel 9.
Oh, so I had two outfits. The first one was a 70s housewife. And the second one, I was Margaret Thatcher.
I like the 70s housewife, I've got to say. But I like the outfit you wear when you're on with the professor.
No one likes that.
I love that. That's a bit retro in itself.
It is a bit retro. Mm. It's not the most flattering, but you know.
Yeah. No, I think it looks good. Anyway, 12-8 now, Dragons over the North Sydney Bears in a Canterbury Cup. The judiciary inconsistency. This is what we want to talk about here. And I want to start off by playing you a little bit of what our very own Mark Geyer had to say about it all being broken. Have a listen to this audio.
It's broken. It's broken. It needs fixing. The inconsistency is staggering, how they can get it so wrong. But then they can find reason to suspend James Maloney for such an innocuous trip. He's the one who should have been fined. And Sam should have been sitting out for 2 weeks.
So,
I found that. Like, I thought Jimmy had a bit of a case there because it looked to me that he was sort of reacting as the ball kicked up. He was sort of trying to, you know, sometimes, you know, you just react as a player on there. You're not conscious of what happens. And sure, it ended up looking pretty average there with the trip. But, yeah, there was certainly nothing in it. So to miss a game for that, I thought was quite ludicrous. And then obviously there's the Sam Burgess one where everyone just thought that he was going to get 1 or 2 weeks, given the fact that there's been a mandate around concussions and the, you know, looking after the players, and we've seen what's happened to Kikau, and then, you know, you got the inconsistency with, you know, Jake Dubojevic sort of in the same week get let off, and you see Isaac Luke and a couple of other guys get a few weeks. There's some serious issues in there, lots of questions, not a lot of answers.
Jake Trbojevic even admitted that he thought he was lucky not to be charged. So he was expecting to cop something. The Panthers were filthy about Viliami Kikau for that late hit. I thought it was impossible for him to pull out of that tackle on Darren Nichols. But, yeah, everyone just seems to be blowing up about how inconsistent it is. Because if you're just a fan watching the game, you would say, well, how can this be worth more than that? But in saying that, there is a lot more that goes into it. Sometimes there's carryover points. Yes. And I've sat in a number of the judiciary sessions, and the way some of the lawyers for the players argue, and they use so many different angles and so many different slow-mos, and then you come to believe... you know, if it's a good lawyer, you come to believe what they're saying, or if it's the NRL's lawyer, you, depending on the strength of the argument, you kind of swayed. So I think the idea that was in the paper actually saying they might live stream these judicial hearings so everyone can see how it comes about.
That'd be really good.
Because everyone was blowing up even last year about Slater, but when you were in there, I kind of thought it's not a shoulder charge. When you listen to their argument and what he was trying to do and they slowed it down,
it's
a
good
believer.
Legal representation,
that's,
isn't it?
That's right. It makes all the difference who represents you. And most that end up getting Nick Gabar end up getting usually, not all the time, but a successful result.
Right. So that's the lesson for you there. Del, would you like to weigh in on any of this?
Oh, look, I think the guys have covered it. I mean, look, I think as a fan, and even we work in and around the game now, you just have no confidence when you see what happens with the tribunal and the judiciary. So hopefully there is an overhaul. Imagine like coming up to the finals now and you just don't know what's going to happen with one of your players or someone gets a raw deal.
Talk to me when you talk about this live streaming.
Yeah.
You definitely think that's a good idea.
Well, I mean, look, the game, it's entertainment, isn't it? I mean, it's not the court of law. It's whether guys are going to sit out for a couple of weeks or whatever it may be. So I think, you know, the game's all about growth and engagement. And there's a lot of people that I would imagine would sit down on a Tuesday evening who love their footy and would, especially if one of their players was going in and, you know, potentially was facing some time out, would be watching that stream just to see how it all evolves, and I think that just then it provokes discussion. It's a Tuesday night thing where, you know, there's not a lot of footy talked on Tuesday other than what comes out of there. So it gives people an understanding of what the panel are being exposed to in relation to all of the information coming in. So I'm just not sure whether that's the right system, because they have the lawyers obviously, you know, pleading their cases to some ex-players. So maybe the ex-players are there and they need to sort of break it all down and give the sort of the guilty or the innocent verdict. But then maybe some of the sentencing or whatever it is, the amount of games that need to be missed is handled by, or the sanctions handled by someone else that has maybe more of a more legal background. I'm not too sure.
And
Who comes up with that, Em? You're in there. Who comes up with the amount of time or the sanctions that the player receives if they're found guilty?
Well, the match review committee originally gives them a grading, and then there are weeks attached to that grading. But what the judiciary can do, which is what Burgess got, they can say, okay, well, you're guilty of a one grade down, so they can downgrade it for you. So it's not just guilty or not guilty. Yep. You can go in and attempt to get a downgrade. Mm-hmm. That's what Tarek Sims could have done before Origin as well. He went to completely get off, but if they had just straight away said guilty, but for one grade down, you know, it gets awfully confusing. So if you're sitting there, if you're sitting there at home on a Tuesday night, a fan and watching, you would be confused. But at least if you can capture that vision and capture the really crucial moments of the argument, and then reporters can use that to show fans what happens.
You wouldn't want
I certainly wouldn't be sitting there, I tell you what, for an hour and a half and just watching that.
No.
I wouldn't watch the whole thing at home on a Tuesday.
But Gertz is happy that they're going to.
Gertz
is going to tape it.
can you record on Facebook Live? I'm not on Facebook.
You wouldn't want one of those. You wouldn't want to go down to Centrelink and get one of those legal aid solicitors, would you? It's very complex. And I don't know how people keep up with these carryover points.
It's confusing, and it's just. It's too much. Keep it simple, like rugby league. It's a simple game played by simple people.
But it is confusing. But then if you take away the carryover points, it comes to something like Josh Maguire, and others would say, well, he's done that before, so shouldn't we take into consideration that he always does this? So that's where carryover points, it's good for something like that to come into it, for serial offenders.
Mm.
You know what? I feel like no matter what they do, everyone's going to find something to whinge about.
Yeah,
don't you think?
100%. People, the great Warren Ryan once said, people are just determined to be offended, aren't they? They're determined to be outraged.
Yep.
But I think it all comes back to what Wendell said. It's all fun and games until someone gets an eye poked out. The Dragons.
I didn't say that.
You said something like that.
I said it's all fun and games until someone loses an eye.
Dragons 18, North Sydney 8 is the score in Canterbury Cup. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bledisloe Cup very shortly as well. Also,
you'll be watching that, will you, Maroon?
No, I won't be watching.
No, you're not.
I could not care less about it.
You're not a big union man.
Are you?
Tim Horan coming on?
Yeah, but I mean, Timmy Horan's an old mate of mine. I love
absolute legend, Tim Horan, one of the greats.
But
you watch when Dale was playing?
No, I especially didn't watch. I've never. A few years ago, I think I said something nasty about the rugby, and our boss at the time said, "You have to go and watch it."
Yeah.
As penance. To which I did.
Yeah.
And it's the only time I ever wished I was dead. No, I'm joking.
Aren't you good mates with Michael Checker?
Yeah, I went to school with Michael.
Well, mate, you got to support him, mate. It's not always about you.
support. I didn't say it was all about me. It's what you grow up with, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, but still, mate, you know. So when the Wallabies are playing the World Cup this year, obviously we haven't won Bledisloe in like I think 17, 18 years or something.
Are we a chance to win the Bledisloe, Wendell?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, it doesn't
matter.
So no
need to get. We don't need Tim on.
Tim might have a better insight than me. Yeah.
Well, we'll come back. We'll speak to Tim very shortly.
Yeah.
I think we've got half time now. 18-8 in Canterbury Cup as Triple M rocks the footy. Triple M Saturday NRL right across the Triple M network for this game this afternoon. Playing for pride, they are the Titans and the Dragons, and both trying to avoid the wooden spoon. So, I hate to say it, Dragons, but if you're on your way up from the F6, they're trying to get off the wooden spoon. And be careful of the deer. Have you seen any deer on the F6?
Yes.
I saw a couple of monsters the other day on the.
Yeah, so did I.
Mount Ousley.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. I can't believe there's so many deers around there.
Yeah, okay. The Bledisloe Cup coverage is live and ad-free, and, of course, it's in 4K, which is just like being there, 4K, on Foxtel at 7 p.m. tonight. So let's bring in a bloke that
knows
all.
It's what you charge an event, isn't it?
Mate, I wouldn't get that in a month.
Mm.
Tim Horan, welcome to Saturday NRL, old mate.
G'day, boys. Yeah, good to be on the show over here in Perth. It's nice and fine, and looking forward to a cracking test match later on tonight.
Yeah, long time no speak, but it's been a long time since we've had a bit of success at the Bledisloe.
It has been. Yeah, I think, Del would know there's, 17 years, I think it's been. So kids are about to finish school. I've never seen a Bledisloe Cup. So it'd be nice to try and get, one hand on it tonight. It's going to be a tough one against the All Blacks. They've picked a pretty strong side. They've got a back row, Artie Sevilla, who's moved, from number 7 to number 6. So they've got a world-class back row, Kieran Reid, the captain, and they'll be very hard to beat. But, yeah, this Wallaby team just chipping away through Michael Checo leading into Rugby World Cup.
And James O'Connor, the former bad boy back in the side, how are you expecting him to go?
Oh, I think it's quite exciting to have him there. He's obviously never played number 13 for the Wallabies, but he's just come back. So he had about a year over in the south of France playing for Toulon, and he had 2 years playing sort of in the Midlands for a side called Sale in the UK Premiership. So, and they were pretty impressed with him over there. So he's, from all reports, even talking to Michael Hooper, the captain, and a few other players, that he's got his feet on the ground. He's 29, and I think for the Wallabies, you've got to start making some decisions, some brave decisions to try and find a way to unsettle the All Blacks.
Mate, we didn't start that well against South Africa. Obviously, they took it to us, not with their best side. And then up there in Brisbane a couple weeks ago against Argentina, we showed some steel. Made plenty of line breaks, but we just didn't execute as well as we'd like to, but still got a good win against them. How do you think they're going to play against the All Blacks tonight, and where should we target the All Blacks?
Well, I think we're going to try and target the All Blacks at scrum time. I think, the Wallabies got a really strong scrum now, and they'll, hopefully try and get some penalties at scrum time. And then I just think we just got to attack. I mean, we can't sit back defensively against Argentina. A couple of weeks ago, we had this defensive pattern where we sat back and waited for them to come to us. Yeah. I think if you do that with the All Blacks, I'll take 14 or 21 points in the first 20 minutes. So, oh, I think we just got to attack. We've got a fairly solid forward pack that can really, work with them up front. It's going to be, it'll be a ground record crowd, boys. Bigger than the State of Origin, bigger than any AFL game.
They
put a few extra seats
really?
In the That'll be about 66,000. And this ground record will be very, very hard to break because of the extra seats they've put around the ground that no one else can do. And I think only Ed Sheeran's had about 62,000, so we're going to beat Big Ed.
We called Origin 2 over there, and it was packed.
Have you been to a big event at Optus over there, Timmy? It's an amazing stadium.
Yeah. No, we went there yesterday, had a tour, and it's incredible, isn't it? Like, even the commentary box, we had a look at that. And just it's actually a smaller ground. I mean, I've played, plenty of test matches on the MCG and places like that where you feel like you're a long way away from the crowd. But even this ground, even though it's a AFL-type ground, it's actually not that big, so the crowd's going to be rolling top of you. It's going to be quite exciting.
Yeah, it's an intimate stadium, mate. I mean, you mentioned the World Cup, and obviously that's at the back end of this season, but and there's a lot of focus on the Bledisloe, but the players going into the World Cup, so for the people out there that are league fans and they don't really follow the rugby, can you just give us a little bit of a summation of how you think we'll go at the back end of the season in the World Cup?
Yeah, so good. We're ranked 6th at the moment in World Rugby. Obviously, All Blacks are first. We've got a pretty good pool when we go to the World Cup. So we end up playing our first game's against Fiji in Sapporo, our second game's against Wales. You win those two games, and you're pretty much with the last two games against Georgia and Uruguay. So you win your pool games, and then all of a sudden you're on a better side of the draw. So I reckon we're reasonably well placed. Even 4 years ago, we were looking at where we're at. And we're probably in a similar situation. But Whatever happens, I think Michael Checker, the coach, has said he'll stand down, win, lose or draw Rugby World Cup. Gerds, we need something. Rugby's huge globally at the moment. Just in Australia, it's a challenge.
So you think Checker's the man to take us all the way through now? So if we lose another couple, do you think we stick with Check now? Because you know some fans are going, we need a change in coach here to be, you know, ordinary to do it there now, wouldn't it?
Oh, Del, you can't do it now yet. No. He's and I think he's the right man for the job. There's not a lot of very good coaches in Australia. There's a lot of young coaches coming up, but we haven't seen to develop many, you know, good coaches. And mate, Check's the right person. And, you know, time will tell. You know, obviously got tonight in Perth, and then a week later we're in Auckland playing where we haven't won since 1978 or something. So we need a win tonight.
And Scotty Johnson's taken on a new role there.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he's the sort of director of rugby now. So Michael Checker has to report to Scott Johnson. Yeah. Scott Johnson was an assistant coach years ago with the Wallabies, and
I remember.
And
that,
then obviously Snoz, you know, Michael O'Connor, who's the independent selector as well. So there's three selectors there, that, and that's why you're seeing probably some brave calls selection time.
Beautiful. Well, thanks, mate. I hope the All Blacks get dusted up tonight by the Wallabies. We just got to show a bit of something. I don't want to just get close. I'd like to beat the All Blacks because, like a lot of the Kiwis, they just think it's an easy win for them.
thanks, boys. Always good to chat.
Timmy.
Looking forward to it. And, if we can get one hand on this Bledisloe Cup, it'll be nice tonight in Perth.
Well, enjoy the game, mate. Be a great experience there.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, and you got some good advice there too, mate. Just they need a bit of something. There you go, Timmy. Good advice there from Wendell.
That'll fire the boys up, won't it? I'll tell them that Del said, just do something.
Something. Thanks, Timmy. What a legend.
Always good to catch up with Timmy Horan here on Saturday NRL. Bledisloe Cup coverage is live and ad-free. Ad break free, of course. 4K on Foxtel at 7 p.m. tonight. Mickey Checker, old Marcelin College boy like me.
Isn't it great to have a dual international on this panel?
Yeah.
So just insight into both codes.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's why they pay me the big dollars here. But it's also, I like how Gertz, he knows a bit about his rugby. So obviously, down that Manly way over there, obviously a few of the rugby boys.
I'm a big Warringah Rats fan.
I thought
think they won the minor premiership this year, but go into the finals. Yes. So I'll be down there at Rat Park and with my beanie on every now. I'll get you down there, Maroon. You'll love it. It's a good afternoon.
Do you get out and about in the community?
Yeah, of course I do.
Of course he does.
I'll just need one of those sports jackets with the, you know, the patches on there.
Yeah. It's not always like that, mate.
And like an Audi Q5 or something.
And a dictionary.
A dictionary would help with for someone like me.
Yeah.
A poor fella like me. 18-12 now, Dragons leading the North Sydney Bears. How's Tristan going out there, mate?
No, he's rested now, so he'll be 18th
man. Of course,
If I'm Paul McGregor, I'm not the coach. Mate, I reckon just play him in a full game reserve grade. And anyway, that's not what – I'm not paid to be the coach.
Well, what if they play him a full game and someone gets injured in the warm-up?
That's right. So I suppose, that's one of the things. But no one ever really gets injured in a warm-up. I know,
Except last week, Zach Lomax did.
No, he got injured before that, but he got injured in the captain's
run. But it does happen.
Yeah, but they thought he'd play, but then he pulled himself from the
captain's
warm-up.
Run. He got injured in the captain's run.
Oh, let's not fight about
it. But he was warming up last week.
But he got injured in the captain's run. He was never going to play.
But he was warming up.
I don't know if he's warming up. So I knew that Mick Ravalawa was always going to be a replacement for him. So I don't know what they're playing Ducks and Drakes then.
If you're going to blood some young guys, I mean, today's the day to do it. You spoke about the wooden spoon, but coming up against the Titans.
Young 40, I think he's a Jeringong boy. So he's come through the system. So, mate, he's a really good back rower. He's played in the centres a little bit. I think he scored 4 tries last week.
Haven't they, Jeringong, punched above its weight?
Yeah.
The Sims from...
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
obviously,
they are,
Mick Cronin.
Ruan. She's killing it.
This young bloke now. But anyway, we'll talk more about that and we'll talk more about this game today. Don't miss the Bledisloe Cup coverage. Live and ad break free and in 4K on Foxtel at 7 p.m. tonight.
Where will you be watching it?
The Bledisloe?
Yes.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to IQ it because I want to watch the NRL. There's some big NRL
games. That's fair enough.
West Tigers.
You've got Parramatta and Knights at 5:30, all into Doggies and West Tigers. And me old mate Madge coaches the Tigers, so I always go for the Tigers.
You do.
Unless they're playing Souths.
He's a good man. Hey, Madge, what's going on with his beard there? What's going on with the beard? Like, what's happening there, the great beard? He looks, reminds me of that bloke off something about Mary Woogie.
I don't know about that. That's a great movie, though.
We'll get him on to ask him about
that. Well, Madge, if you're listening, mate, call in. He would be doing something at home.
Wooganowski.
He'd be doing something. He'd be watching the video of some game. So, Madge, call in, mate. We'll get you on air.
Does he like you?
He loves me. I love him and he loves me. We're buddies.
Are you as tight as you and Seabolder?
Well, I don't hardly know him.
and only that he coached South for about 10 minutes and then got poached to go to another club that he hasn't had a lot of success at yet. But that's about all I know. I'm just rattling your cage, Del, because I know he's a mate of yours. I'm just rattling your cage. And let's be in the fair income department. Poor old Cowboys, they were robbed the other night.
Yeah, they were. I'll be honest, they were robbed, mate. They were robbed a couple of times.
But just to be clear, everybody, you guys always try and make out like I don't like Anthony Seibold.
Yeah.
Okay, he was at South for about 3.5 minutes, so I don't even know the bloke. So let's just leave it there.
You jumped on his bandwagon last year.
I did not jump on his bandwagon. Anything to do with South, I jump on the bandwagon because I love South.
Yeah.
But you'd be thinking if you're coaching, you got the job at South, you might stay for more than 12 months. That's all I'm saying.
He was there for 2 years.
He was only the first grade coach for 1 year.
Yeah, he was an assistant coach for a year. Let it go, mate, honestly. Let it go.
How bitter are you out of 10 that he left?
I'm not bitter that he left. I'm just I think because we've South got Wayne Bennett, so I think that's a better swap.
Have you ever met Wayne Bennett?
No. But I just think that it's...
You may as well meet him while he's here, because when he leaves, you're not going to want to talk to him.
No.
So you've been down to South training. You haven't gone up and introduced yourself to Wayne?
No, I haven't. I know that our paths will cross at the red and green ball or something, and I'll say g'day. And
do you host that?
I do. No, I don't. Vossy hosts that. I just go along.
Who hosts it?
Vossy hosts last year.
Oh, yeah, good.
Anything else you want to know about Bunnies?
What are you doing down at South training?
Well, I don't go to South training that much.
Oh, it sounds like
unless I meet Hoops. Sometimes I meet Hoops for coffee.
I saw you down there one day.
What are you doing down at South training?
Well, I go and have a coffee with Hoops. Hoops has got things going on in his life that he likes to bounce off me.
Okay.
You know, like a mentor to him. Just things in life.
You're a mentor to Hoops.
I'm like a mentor to Hoops, you know. So, you know, he's not everything's going, you know, like.
Surely he couldn't be going that bad.
You're saying Hoops is off the rails at the moment?
No, I'm not. I didn't say Hoops.
That's what you were trying to imply.
Hoops just likes to bounce a few things off me. So I go down there and have a coffee with him, and no doubt this will get back to him, and we'll talk about it. Anyway, you're coming along nicely, Hoops. 18-0, Dragons, Bears. Let's take a break and come with more as Triple M rocks the footy. Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL on Retro Round. We're going to talk retro very shortly. I've just been in touch with my friend Michael Madge McGuire, the coach of the West Tigers.
See you back to you.
Yeah. He said he's growing the beard out till the season finishes. So,
I like it. I think it looks good. It's a good addition, Madge.
Yeah.
Good
so
on you, Madge.
Thanks, Madge. And thank you for listening.
We love you, Madge.
And good luck tonight, too, against the Doggies.
Yeah.
And you're a Tigers supporter, obviously, Em.
I'm a Tigers supporter. So, I think they can get home.
Yeah, I hope so.
Has your brother re-signed yet or not?
He has not. So if you're listening, Madge.
No, Madge is going to grow the beard till Chris Lawrence resigns. There you go. It's time for this.
On Triple M, NRL, the best of the best.
And this is thanks to our old mates at Mongrel Boots. Now, Mongrel Boots, they've been around since the 70s. Now, I think they used to be called, might be Victor Boots. They know they had another name because we met the Mongrel Boots people. And they have been around for a long time. They're Aussie made. They're comfortable. You can just wear them while you're working. You can wear them up the pub. You can put them on while you can wear them around the house too if you want. Whatever works for you.
MG wears them in on radio, so you don't need to be on a work site or, you know, doing something in a sort of a laborious nature. You can actually just be casually wearing them to an event.
Could you go to court in them?
Well, I'm sure MG will find out.
you can wear them any old now.
Yeah,
can you do them at wear them at home doing the housework or something?
As you could, just in your jammies with your mongrel boots on.
Mm.
So my jammies, I just have a t-shirt and undies. So t-shirt, undies, mongrel.
I might get Zach to do the vacuuming in his undies and the mongrel boots.
Oh, I think we'd love to have some photos of that if we could. Now, best of the best for mongrel boots. We're doing the best players of the 1970s. Being retro around, we're going way on back to the 1970s, and we asked the players now, who were your favourite players of the 70s? Gerds, what about you coming through in Wollongong?
Well, I didn't. I sort of started playing for the Gaimi Gorillas when I was a young fella, so I was in the Shire. Mm-hmm. So I was down on, I think it was called Endeavour Oval at the time, so I used to go down there on a weekly basis and watch the Sorensen brothers. But my favourite player and the person that I was in the background was obviously Stevie Rogers.
Oh, the Sludge.
So the Sludge. So he was my absolute hero as a young fella. So I'm going to go with with him. He was just a joy to watch, and I was a big fan.
And what was obviously a great inspiration to you, as he was to many players?
Well, I mean, you know, when you always pick someone to be when you're in the backyard playing footy against the neighbours and your brother, and I was always Stevie Rogers, and he had the whole package. So he was brilliant, got to play and with and against his son at some point in my career, which was an honour as well, great player in his own right. But the fact that, you know, he was Stevie's son was pretty special as well.
What about you, Del?
For me, Arthur Beetson. I think, you know, not just because, you know, the way that he played, the toughness and the skill, but I just think off the field too, he was a larrikin. Everyone loved Arthur Beetson. And the lucky thing for me is when you go somewhere, even listening to Sterlo talk about Arthur and how he used to drive him around and just the way he used to treat people, I got to work with Arthur when I had some time out of the game in the Indigenous communities. Mm. And just what he did for people and just the aura that he had, I can tell why everyone loved Big Arthur. But geez, he was tough. It's like as soon as he crossed that sideline, he'd have that winning mentality. Mm. Apparently, he was a really good boxer, really good squash player. Just whatever he did, he was such a talent.
He was a lovely bloke. I met Arthur a number of occasions. Just one day in the Zetland Hotel, I just went up and pestered him, and he gave me his time. It was just beautiful.
Mate, you'd like this. I met him when I was a 16-year-old. There was David Peachy and myself. And he went back to Cronulla and gave us our names, but just when he spoke to you, like, oh, I was just happy just to meet him. And he goes, "Man, I'd love to get you down to Cronulla. You know, there might be an opportunity for you." Mm. He was the head coach of Cronulla then when he came up to Mackay. But just for me, just to meet someone of that, you know, that stature was unbelievable.
And of course, a member of the 74-75 Rooster side, the great Peter Sterling says, best club side ever.
Yeah, he always says that.
Emma, what about you?
Well, keep in mind, I wasn't watching them at the time because I was born in 1990. But looking back on highlights and then also getting to work with a lot of people in the media, I'm going to pick Sterlo.
Yeah.
Our good mate, because I just used to love watching and still do highlights of him. And this week with Fox League, they brought a couple out as well. And never really got fired up, but I've seen a couple of him getting fired up in a game and a high shot on someone as well. But I used to always watch the footy show growing up with him and Fatty. So I used to love that. And now working with him at Triple M as well, he's such a gentleman, and through my work in the media, especially with the opening of Bank West earlier this year, interviewing a lot of Eels legends, Mick Cronin, Peter Wynn, to hear how they all speak about Sterlo.
Yep.
He was obviously held in such high regard at the club at the time, and still is, obviously has his own stand there.
Mm. Mm.
What about you, Maroon?
Yeah.
Mate, Maroon, who's your favourite in the 70s?
That's your era, like,
Well, I what? I used to love the goal kickers.
Yeah,
I don't know why. You know, I used to get down to Waterloo Oval and get the mud and, you know, just place the ball and try and toe poke it straight over. And I wasn't very good at that. I wasn't very good at most things involved in actually
playing.
Who was
your favourite 70s player?
Well, I tell you what, I used to like, can I say my goal kickers first? Henry Tartner, the late Henry Tartner, who was a goal kicking front rower. Eric Sims, South fans, you remember in 1975 against the Tigers, we beat them 39-2 when Eric kicked 9 goals from 9 attempts. But my favourite winger was a bloke named Terry Fay, who we used to refer to as the Redfern Express. And my uncle said to me one day, after Waterloo Waratahs training tonight, we're all going down to Redfern Oval to meet the guys while they train. So who was down there training? I think Lurch was still playing then, John O'Neill. Maybe Georgie Piggins was playing then as well. Blokes like that. But Terry Fay was my favourite player, and I grabbed my cousin Adam. I said, let's go up and say g'day to Terry Fay. And we went up and we went to say hello to him, and he can deny this till he's blue in the face. He told us both to F off. So there you go. So how times have changed now. He'd obviously had a hard session of sprinting up and down the sideline. Mm. People tell me that he is the ultimate gentleman, the ultimate a man.
Except you.
Great man, but he definitely told me to F off. And then he left South, not because of that.
And I'd imagine from there it just started a long line of people telling you to F off.
Yeah, that's so
You'd
true.
You'd have to think that it almost hasn't stopped.
No, it hasn't. He wasn't the first and he won't be the last.
No, I'm sure he won't be.
But he was a great player. He went on to play for the Roosters. That all, as a South supporter, you always, if once they went to the Roosters.
That was it? You turn on him?
Oh, you turn on him. And then he finished up his career at the Raiders Yeah, so he's one of the original Raiders too, I think. But great days, the 70s. You know, back in those days, you had Newtown, you had Norths playing, of course, and you had Western Suburbs who used to play at Lidcombe. But one day we went to Henson Park again with my Uncle Pete, and we watched it. We drove the, you could drive the car into Henson Park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And one of the players kicked the ball, and it hit the car. And I thought, that'll just do me. I could die and go to heaven after that. But it's retro round. Congratulations. We're celebrating some of our great players of the 1970s. 19 to go here in Canterbury Cup. Dragons, Norths are all locked up at 18 all. I've got Ryan, I've got Emma, I've got Wendell, I've got Maroon. We're going to take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.